Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. I want to welcome you to our shows. We'll look at world events in light of biblical prophecy. Well, folks, it's great to be back home here in Lincoln, Rhode Island. And, folks, we have been on the road for nearly 2.5 months as we traveled to the Midwest, to the South, preached at roughly about 11 churches, and we covered close to about 5,000 miles. We left Kentucky at around 2 p.m., Friday afternoon, and we just decided to drive all night, and we got in to Lincoln, Rhode Island, early this morning. Well, really not that early, probably at around 10:30, quarter of 11 this morning. And I'll tell you, folks, we are just tired as can be. But we had a wonderful 2.5 month road trip. The Lord opened many doors for us to speak at other churches on Bible prophecy. We made some new friends and gone to some new churches. And folks, I'm telling you, we just had a wonderful, wonderful time. But now we are back home in our own house, in our own bed, and we are just excited to be back home. We're looking forward to getting together with our family. Of course, we were with our daughter, Amanda. She lives in Indiana, and we were there with her on a couple occasions as we crossed paths over there. But now we'll get to be with our other daughter and get to see the other grandkids. And so we're excited, looking forward to that. As a matter of fact, my youngest daughter will be here with her husband and our grandson later on today after the radio show. And we're looking forward to having a wonderful cooked meal. And again, just excited and thrilled to be back home after being on the road for 2.5 months. But, folks, that doesn't mean it stops, because tomorrow morning in Wyoming, Rhode Island, I will be preaching at Wood River Baptist Church. I will be doing their Sunday school morning service at 10 a.m., and then I'll be doing the 11 a.m. service, and I will be doing the 6 p.m. service. We will be looking at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. Now, folks, when I got back this morning, my wife and I mean, we were so fatigued that I wasn't sure we were going to be able to do the radio broadcast. But praise the Lord, the Spirit of God was just tugging on my heart and had me get out of that bed and said, you need to do that radio show. So I really didn't want to leave any of our listeners hanging, and I want to thank you for taking your time out of the weekend for 45 minutes to tune in to this radio broadcast. So, folks, I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in every single week. If you are tuning in for the first time and you want to get to know us, you can visit our website at todayinbibleprophecy.org. And while you're there, sign up for our newsletter. It goes out every single week. It's free. Just type in your email address, and you'll start receiving our newsletters. If you want to know more about our Bible prophecy tour to Israel, March 14th through the 24th, including Petra and Jordan. That's March 14th through the 24th, 2016. March 14th through the 24th, 2016. Folks, that will be an 11-day tour. And we would love to have you join us on that Bible prophecy tour of a lifetime. If you want to know more information, send me an email with a contact telephone number. My email address is august.todaybibleprophecy. It's all one word. todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. That's august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Or if you're ready to go, you can call our tour operator, Eyal Evan, E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evan, E-D-A-N, Evan. Call Eyal Evan toll-free, 1-888-300-3038. That's 1-888-300-3038. Let Eyal know you would like to join August Rosado on the Bible prophecy tour, including Petra. And he'll show you exactly what you need to do. Folks, if you plan on going, you need to act now. Deposits of $300 are right now due to the tour company. And so that will secure your seat on the plane. And then, of course, full payment is due at the end of December, early January. So now's the time to act to join my wife and I on the Bible prophecy tour to Israel. Folks, I'm going to do something a little different this morning. Usually I take a news event and I give my prophetic perspective on that news event. But what I'm going to do is share with you one of the messages that I preached recently while on this road trip. And what I want to talk about is near-death experiences. Are they biblical? And folks, there has been a lot of claims out there by those who have said that they have had near-death experiences. And if you have your Bible, if you're familiar with the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, Paul the Apostle said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one was caught up. Now that's something you should circle in your Bible, that word, that phrase, caught up. How he was caught up into the third heaven. And then in verse 4, he uses the same phrase, caught up. And how he heard unspeakable things that a man simply doesn't utter, that people on earth don't utter. And so I believe that Paul the Apostle was not talking about somebody else, but he was talking about himself. Now, folks, the Bible tells us that in the last days, there would be those who would depart from the Word of God, and in the last days they will give heed to doctrines of demons. They will give heed to doctrines of devils. Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1, where Paul said that in the last days the Holy Spirit of God would express to his people who follow truth the error that would be in the church and outside the church today. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times or in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, Paul was writing this under the influence and moving of the Holy Spirit of God. He said that in the last day, there would be those who would go beyond the perimeters of the scriptures. They would go beyond the Bible itself, and that they would give heed to doctrines of demons. You know, Paul the Apostle said that we are to avoid fables. I'm paraphrasing here, fairy tales. And these people would go beyond the Word of God, and they would fabricate stories. And folks, this is what we are seeing right now. A stage setting event. It is a sure signal that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. Because we are seeing these things right now. Peter the Apostle tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that as there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you, who shall privately or secretly bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that brought them. They would even deny the teachings and the doctrines of Jesus Christ and would bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Those of us today in the church who stand up for truth, who stay within the legal bounds of the scriptures, that speak out against these fables, these fabrications, they will condemn us because we speak the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, a lot of people say set you free, but that's not what it says. Jesus says make you free. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Folks, truth is truth. Truth is absolute. The Bible, absolute. It's relevant. It's truth. And it's all the revelation that you and I need today. Peter said that there were false prophets in his day that would rise among the people, and they would speak destructive heresies and even deny the doctrines of the Lord Jesus himself. He said that in the last days, they would lead many astray to follow their pernicious ways or their destructive ways, and even attack those who speak the truth about their damnable heresies, their destructive heresies, their destructive doctrines. And folks, even the worst part is that they believe that they're telling the truth. And of course, through all these fabrications, they're making financial gain from their erroneous doctrine through feigned words. That's how Peter describes it. Feigned words, counterfeit words, phony words. Through deceptive words, they make merchandise of their teaching and they exploit their followers. That is what they are doing in these last days. I know you've heard me interview David James in the past on my radio show about the blood moons, the mystery of the Shemitah, how those prophecies fail. Jonathan Cahn's Shemitah prophecy failed on September 13th. And despite his failed prophecy, people are still coming to his defense in the church. And the blood moons prophecy failed on September 28th. The only thing that happened is that there was a blood moon. That was it. No apocalyptic events, no rapture, no asteroid coming to destroy the earth, no major big sign for Israel, as John Hagee said. Folks, absolutely nothing. We find this out yet once again with failed prophecy from Mark Biltz, Jonathan Cahn, and John Hagee. You know, according to the mystery of the Shemitah, that on the seventh sabbatical year, which was, according to him, September 13th, he said a major financial catastrophe would strike the United States and the world. Nothing happened. And again, with the so-called blood moons, it was going to be an earth-shattering event of major proportions for the world, a major sign for Israel. Nothing happened. There were no such financial calamities. There were no apocalyptic events whatsoever. None of these events accompanied these prophecies, so-called. And now they are explaining them away. What are the true tests of a true prophet of God? Based on Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 19 through 22, if a prophet claimed that he was speaking on behalf of God, and he said a prophecy would come to pass, he has to be 100% accurate. There is no room for error whatsoever. If that prophecy came to pass, and it was accurate, 100% accurate, well, then we know he's a true man of God. He's speaking on behalf of God. God sent him. But if he came on the scene claiming to be a prophet of God, and he gave a prophecy, and that prophecy did not come to pass, did not happen, then we know he's a false prophet. And false prophets in the Old Testament were stoned to death. The Bible says you don't be afraid of that false prophet. Now, of course, folks, we have these books and movies coming out like The Boy Who Went to Heaven, Heaven Is For Real by Burkle, and 90 Minutes in Heaven by Don Piper. These books have sold millions of copies, and now a movie has come out for the books as well. Let's focus on one right here briefly. The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, or as they are now calling it, The Boy Who Never Went to Heaven. It's coming under very serious scrutiny. It even prompted Lifeway Christian bookstores, a major Christian bookstore chain, to pull the books and the movies from their shelves. And the reason why Lifeway Christian Bookstore did that is because the boy who claimed that he died and went to heaven, Alex Malarkey, I'm making that last name up, folks, that's his last name, Alex Malarkey, has now recanted his story and said this, and I quote, "I didn't die, I didn't go to heaven." He was 6 years old at the time he made the claim. Now, him and his father, Kevin, were in a very, very serious car accident. I am not downplaying that. I am not underestimating that. That was a tragic, tragic accident that nearly killed Alex. He was in a coma. That was the only true thing about that experience, was that he was in a car wreck. What wasn't true was a story that he concocted. He said he never died and he never went to heaven. He was indeed paralyzed in that car accident. Until this very day, he is still paralyzed from the waist down. He was the youngest person to receive the Christopher Reeve breathing device at the age of 10 years old. Not only has Lifeway Christian bookstores pulled the books and movies from the shelves because Alex has now recanted that story, but Tyndale Publishers stopped all publication of the book. But the problem that I have with Tyndale Publishers is that they knew that Alex Malarkey recanted his story, and they still continued publication of the books. Why? Because the sales were going through the roof. And yet, in the very front of that book, The Boy Who Went to Heaven, on the very bottom, it said, a true story. This is what the Apostle Peter was warned about, that they would make merchandise of you. They would exploit you for financial gain. Tyndale knew about the boy recanted his story, but they continued publishing the book and raking in a whole lot of money. And then recently they just finally stopped publication because they came under serious fire. Makes me lose a whole lot of respect, folks, for Tyndale Publishing. When you look at the back cover of the book, The Boy Who Went to Heaven, this is what it says: an accident, a miracle, and a supernatural encounter that will give you new insights on heaven. Now, that's a red flag right there. New insights on heaven. We don't need new insights on heaven. All the information that we need about heaven, as little as it is, we get from the Bible. Nobody else, the Bible. Nobody's personal experiences, folks, should dictate your doctrine. The Bible has very little to say about heaven. So we need to be careful when someone says new insights into heaven. That is unbiblical. That is false. Let me continue to read. It'll give you new insights on heaven, angels, and hearing the voice of God. In 2004, Kevin Malarkey and his 6-year-old son, Alex, suffered a terrible car wreck. The impact from the crash paralyzed Alex, and it seemed impossible that he could survive. I think that Alex has gone to be with Jesus, a friend told the stricken dad. When Alex awoke from a coma 2 months later, he had an incredible story to share of events at that accident scene and in the hospital while he was unconscious, of the angels who took him through the gates of heaven. There's a red flag right there. The gates of heaven, that's a red flag right there, folks. Excuse me. Of the gates of heaven itself, amazing of all, of meeting and talking with Jesus. Now, folks, they continue to say, the boy who came back from heaven is a true story of an ordinary boy's most extraordinary journey. As you see heaven and earth through Alex's eyes, you'll come away with new insight on miracles, life beyond this world, and the power of a father's love. Now, folks, the problem with Alex's statement about the gates of heaven is that the Bible never mentions heaven as having gates. The only description of gates in the New Testament is not in heaven, but in the eternal state, the new heavens and the new earth. We find it in the New Jerusalem, Revelation chapter 21, verse number 12. It talks about 12 gates. In verse 21, again, it talks about 12 gates. And by the way, the Bible never talks about streets, plural, in heaven. It talks about one street, singular. And that's not in heaven. That is in the eternal state. One street, singular, in heaven. That's Revelation 21:12 and Revelation chapter 22 in verse number 2. This is talking about the eternal state, not the third heaven. And I'll talk about that briefly in just a moment. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 12 was caught up onto the third heaven. He is talking about himself. He knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. He's talking about himself. He was caught up to the third heaven. Now, folks, there are three heavens in the Bible. There's a first heaven, a second heaven, and a third heaven. The first heaven is mentioned in Daniel 4:12, where the birds of the air fly. You look up in the middle of the afternoon, you look up into the sky where you see the birds and the clouds. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is mentioned in Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. When you look up into the skies at night, you see all the stars that are in the sky. That is the second heaven. That is space. Described in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night after night uttereth knowledge. There is no language or knowledge where their voice is not heard. The heavens speak loud and clear that there is an intelligent designer behind it. And that is God. Creation screams out loud that there is a creator behind it, and that is God himself. The third heaven is what Paul is talking about. He was caught up to that third heaven. He was caught up to the third heaven. The third heaven is where the soul and the spirit of the born-again believer goes after he leaves this earth. When the soul and spirit leave the body, that soul and spirit of the born-again believer goes directly into the presence of God, into the third heaven. A body without the soul and spirit suffers physical death. A body without the soul and spirit is dead. So for the born-again believer, that soul and spirit goes into the presence of God. For the unbeliever, that soul and spirit go directly away from God, separated from God, into a place called hell, and will remain there in torment until the great white throne judgment, where they are summoned out of hell. They stand before the Lord Jesus at the great white throne judgment, and then they're cast into the lake of fire forever. We have to make a distinction between hell and the lake of fire. They are not one and the same, as some are teaching today. Hell you can look at as a temporary holding place, the jail. and then the Lake of Fire would be the long-term place for the unbeliever. It's like if you are arrested for murder. You are held without bail. You are held during a trial at a local jail facility, not the prison, but a local jail facility. If you are convicted of that murder, then you are moved from your temporary location to your permanent long-term location, which would be a state prison. Hell is the temporary holding place. The lake of fire is the eternal destination for the unbeliever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. How can hell be cast into hell? Don't make sense. Hell is cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I heard one preacher say, if you're born once, you're going to die twice. That's the second death. But if you're born twice, you'll only die once. Jesus said, you must be born again. John 3:3, John 3:7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. So Paul himself was caught up to that third heaven. That phrase, caught up, in verses 2 and 4, is the Greek word harpazo, where we get the English word harpoon. You take a harpoon, you throw it into, you know, the fish, and then you reel it in. Like in the movie Moby Dick, you know, Moby Dick throws his harpoon into Moby Dick, tries to reel him in. One day the church will be harpooned and take it up into heaven. The word caught up simply means in the Greek to snatch away. The Latin for the word or the phrase caught up is the Latin word rapturo. From which we get the English word rapture, where it simply means to seize, violently seize, or snatch away. We find that same phrase in reference to Philip the Evangelist in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 39. After preaching and sharing the gospel out of the book of Isaiah to the Ethiopian eunuch, he gets saved, they get baptized, no doubt in the Mediterranean since they were near much water. And then the Bible says Philip was caught up. Now, he did not get caught up into heaven, but he was caught up. They later find him at Azotus, which would be modern-day Ashdod in southern Israel today. And then from Ashdod, he makes his way over into Caesarea. That was his main headquarters over there. And then we also find the phrase caught up in reference to the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and then in Christ, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 51-52. Jesus gives us a brief description of the rapture in John 14, verses 1 through 3. And then Paul the Apostle, 35 years later, after the Lord Jesus, gave us a description of the rapture in 1 Corinthians 15, 51-52. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. Alex Malarkey's mother, Beth Malarkey, says that the book is a fabrication. Now, Alex, I believe now he is 17 years old. He was 6 when he made that claim. He's 17 now. The boy's father, Kevin, despite his son recanting the story, continues to sell the books. Kevin owns the copyright to the book, and it's unfortunate that his son has received no royalties from the book, even though he is a quadriplegic who needs 24-hour care. My friend David James, who listens to him on my radio show once a month, interviewed Beth Malarkey for 90 minutes on the phone, and she said none of it is true. He recanted it, and said it wasn't true. Everything is a fabrication. But yet you'll still see those books in Christian bookstores say despite that, folks. Why? Because of the money. It's all about the money. Near-death experiences, or NDE, are becoming very popular today in the church and outside the church, but especially in the church. The problem is that those who experience near-death experiences, so-called, they all have a different account of heaven. Not one of them is consistent in their description of what heaven is like. Those who say that they are Bible-believing Christians who claim to have a near-death experience, they leave their churches because they come under scrutiny, and they are now saying that Jesus is not the only way to heaven, but now believes everybody is on their way to heaven. Now, we know that's not true, because Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life in John 14 and verse number 6. Those who claim to have near-death experiences in the church and outside the church make wild claims that are inconsistent with the scriptures. For an example, Heaven is Real, the book by Colton Burpo. He said this, that when he died, he went to a cold hell. Now, folks, right there alone, he needs to be rejected. The Bible never describes hell as being cold. Jesus describes it as a place of fire, a place of torment, where their worm dieth not, where the rich man was asking for a drop of water on the tip of his tongue because he's tormented in his flames. He wasn't ice skating down there. He was in torment in those flames, he said. It's a lake of fire. There's smoke rises forever. Well, if you have smoke, that means you must have what? Fire. He said he went to a cold hell, and then after he was in hell, he was whisked up into heaven. And while he was there in heaven, he sat on Jesus' lap and talked with him. He said Jesus has a rainbow-colored horse. My Bible never says anywhere that Jesus has a rainbow-colored horse. Jesus does have a horse. It's in Revelation 19. It's not rainbow-colored. It's a white horse. He said this, dead people have wings. The Bible never says that. And they brought him a chair so he can sit next to the Holy Spirit, who was the color blue. Folks, right there alone, all that needs to be rejected. But it's unfortunate that you have gullible Christians today that are falling for this stuff. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, folks, but I'm just telling the truth. In the book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, Don Piper, a pastor, who was, again, a very serious car wreck. I'm not undermining that. I am not underestimating that. He nearly died. As a matter of fact, he was declared clinically dead. But there's a difference between clinically dead and biblically dead. I'm going to give that difference in a second. He was declared clinically dead. He said he went to heaven for 90 minutes. My friend David James, who went to go see the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven, said it was absolutely horrible. He went there only for purposes of, you know, writing the story about it, doing research on it. He said there was only 1 5-minute scene of heaven at the end of the movie. The remainder of the movie was only his recovery time in the hospital, with only a very brief 5-minute description of heaven. The movie fails to give the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though Don Piper says that he is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of the movie, he's talking to this big church with over 3,000 people. He tells everybody, keep the faith. Well, that's vague. Keep the faith. He also said this, I hope to see everyone in heaven, implying universal salvation. That's it. It's implying universal salvation. And the name of Jesus Christ was only mentioned twice throughout the whole movie. What's the difference between clinically dead and biblically dead? Well, folks, to be clinically dead simply means they have no detectable physical vital signs. That's it. When they worked on Don Piper, the EMTs, they didn't have all types of equipment to work with. They couldn't find the pulse. His breathing was extremely shallow, if none. So he was declared clinically dead. But it was totally different when he got to the hospital. He wasn't declared clinically dead or even biblically dead when he went to the hospital. So clinically dead simply means they have no detectable physical vital signs. However, to be biblically dead means the soul and the spirit separates from the body. As in the case with Rachel in Genesis chapter 35 and verse number 18, as she dies on her way to Bethlehem, it says, and as her soul was departed, and then the Bible puts in parentheses, for she died. As I said already, folks, a body without the soul and spirit suffers physical death. The soul and spirit at the time of death go directly into the presence of Jesus Christ for the born-again believer. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. To be absent from the body, in other words, for your soul and spirit to be absent from the body, death is to be present with the Lord. But to be at home in the body is to be absent from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible does not teach soul sleep. That's a false doctrine that needs to be rejected. Now, folks, in closing, we can't let books and people's personal experiences develop our theology. It cannot develop our theology. It cannot develop our doctrine. Our doctrine, our theology must come from the plain sense teaching of God's holy word. Personal experience or circumstantial evidence is not Bible doctrine. If the plain sense makes sense, don't look for any other sense or you will end up with nonsense. But folks, if you're listening to the show and you don't have that, all you got to do is say something like this. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You died for my sins. I repent of my sins today. I turn from my wicked ways. I deserve to go to hell, but I fall upon your mercies. Repent of my sins. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and I now receive you as my personal Savior. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, if you pray that prayer, I want to hear from you. Send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. And folks, don't forget, tune in next week as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. Jesus is coming soon, and today, God bless.